Welcome to Dark Side Adventures, an 18 and older, not safe for work podcast where we explore the dark side of sex, the world of kink, fetish, and the BDSM lifestyle.
Oh man, welcome, welcome, welcome everybody. Dark Side Adventures, episode 24. Oh man, we are joined today by a wonderful guest, but where are my manners? Where are my manners? We are your hosts. I am Edwin.
I'm Coco.
And we are going to introduce Mr. Alex. Mr. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, thank you.
Oh man, we got some good stuff today. Normally, you know how it is whenever we have a panelist on here. So we'll definitely get, you know, hopefully some good information and good references and give you guys a good message tonight. But let's go ahead and start. Correct. Happy Global Love Day. I love everybody.
I think that's a very fitting holiday because Alex here is not in the U.S. with Edwin and I. So we are showing some global kink love and sharing some knowledge with y'all.
Mr. Alex, you got anything to add there?
I don't really know what to say to that, to be honest. I mean, thank you for the warm welcome and thanks for the invite on. As they just said, I am based in London at the moment. It's like I'm still not used to it being bright outside at 7:30, so I'm still a bit tripped out, but we'll make do. We'll get through it.
I totally understand that. I got home at 9 p.m. the other day and I was like, why is the sun just now setting? I don't understand. So
I'm glad to say this. It's a little bit different for all those that don't know. We are actually like recording at like a different like hour than we normally do, obviously, because this gentleman is on the other side of the world is what it feels like.
It's a constant struggle. I'm used to it by now.
But we thought we would be nice to you and not record at our normal like 7-8 o'clock time, which is like, you know, 3 in the morning for you. So
this poor man, he's gonna be out there, he barely keep his eyes awake trying to talk. Like
I'm gonna be completely honest with you, I woke up about 2 hours ago. So I'm feeling fresh. I stayed up way too late playing Truth or Dare last night with a bunch of Americans, so kind of nursing a hangover, but it is what it is. It's a 3-day weekend this weekend, so hopefully I'll be able to. I'll be good by work on Tuesday.
Oh man, you'll be fine. I'm sure you still got one extra day to recover. Just don't go too hard tonight.
I'm gonna eat some Indian food and then go get some more sleep, I think.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sounds good to me, actually. Damn, I haven't had Indian food in like a long time too, and I'm like a food connoisseur. Like, well. Guys, normally we hit like a normal catch up, but I think at this point we might as well just kind of go into it. So let's see, we've kind of talked about mental spaces in BDSM. Obviously, like, you know, we try and get in depth without going too in depth here, but I don't think this is one that we've actually kind of talked about. I mean, we kind of brushed over it, you know, for different kinks. But tonight we're actually going to dive into it. And thankfully with Alex, we'll be able to, you know, just kind of get a lot more references as well as maybe even stories too.
That's so the goal.
Yeah, that always is the goal. But today's topic is actually going to be what we would like to call mental masochism. So humiliation, degradation, even like affirmations and other, you know, there's good things to it as well, but we're just kind of, we're getting behind the veil, if anything. So
Alex, do you want to give us your definition of what you would consider mental masochism and what appeals to you about it?
Yeah, so if it's all right with you guys, I just want to give a little bit of info about myself first.
Definitely.
Backstory.
Not that it's much to tell, but so...
I already know it, so I just assume everybody knows it. I'm terrible.
Well, you know, the listeners don't. So my name's Alex. Like I said, I'm born and raised in London. I've been in the kink sphere. I'm 27 years old at the time of recording. I've been in the kink sphere for... 10 years actually, coming up for. Introduced to it like most people by a significant other I had. I think it was the girl after I lost my virginity to. My next girlfriend had Tumblr, of course. I was like, hey, I want to try this. And I was like, all right, cool, fuck it. And then I just been spiraling down this rabbit hole ever since. Some learning experiences along the way, but I'm hoping that I can use my, not to put too finer point on it, fuck ups, and try and educate people so they don't make the same dumb shit decisions that I made. But yeah,
it before, super wise people learn from other people's mistakes. So
yeah, especially in like the online, because of COVID and everything, it's kind of exploded.
Yes.
And not to be hipster about it, I was doing it before COVID, but okay. I feel like it's really difficult to try and engage people who, how do I word this? People who think they know a lot, and that's not me trying to gatekeep, it's just a lot of, especially DOMs, especially don't tend to like put their hand up and say, hey, I don't.
They're not open to learning.
Know anything about, yeah, and I don't want to just shit on young people and say, oh, it's young people, but 9 times out of 10 they're under the age of 21, and I'm like, well, yeah, who would have guessed? But then again, I can't say that like my shit don't stink. I was the same, and I had to learn through trial and error. And I mean, like, even going as far back as like 5 years ago, there just wasn't any like good information.
Agreed.
That wasn't like how to not kill your partner by choking them, but anything like anything that wasn't relatively like, which is, it's good that information's out there, but like, especially with like kink talk as well, I'm really glad to see that kink talk is on the scene now, and you've got Instagram, people on Instagram, although Instagram tends to ban hammer those people very quickly, but
yes.
You've got kink talk, you've got YouTube, you've got podcasts now, and I'm really happy to see you guys doing it as well. And yeah, I hope that people can listen to this and sort of get educated. And I don't know, even if it's just that little spark that someone remembers that in the moment and says, oh, actually, I won't do this. That makes me really happy. I like educating people.
Exactly.
By no means, though, am I saying that, like, just because I've been in it 10 years, I'm still learning. Anyone that tells you that they have nothing left to learn because I've been in this longer than the one that always gets me is like 35-year-olds that are like, I've been doing this since before you were shitting in diapers, and I'm like, okay, but that doesn't mean that you're any better than anyone else,
right?
So sorry, enough about me. So mental masochism, generally speaking, will, if you Google it, there's not really much out there. And a lot
Alex
of people don't
to
tend
show
to
us earlier, that earlier.
Yeah, it's kind of, I feel like a lot of people don't know the technical term for it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know the technical term for it. But in one of my Discord servers that I'm in, we had an event where we spoke about it, and I was like, oh, write that down. That's the name for it. So mental masochism broadly is defined as anything to do with one's mental state in a scene. Now, whether that's just a one-on-one scene, whether that's a 24/7 TPE type dynamic, or whether it's some weird amalgamation of the two, generally speaking, it's anything to do with one's own mental energy. Oh. So for example, as a physical masochism is obviously enjoying being hurt physically, be it spanking, choking, any kind of Coco impact shaking play, her head stuff. Right now.
We all know Coco is very much a masochist.
Yes,
both physical and mental.
but I feel like a lot of the physical stuff kind of goes hand in hand with mental masochism, because yes. I know plenty of masochists that don't self-identify as a mental masochist, but if I say to them, like, okay, if you're not a mental masochism, then hear me out for this. What if you were blindfolded and you didn't know when it was coming? That anticipation is going to build up and going to get you way further than if you knew it was coming, right? And they're like, oh my God, yes, of course. And I'm like, right, that's mental masochism. But then this, you could say the same for people who explicitly like being, I'll give an extreme example. Some people like being gaslit. Some people like having their sanity and their own mental health fucked with in a consensual manner. I just want to point out, everything that I'm going to talk about is under the guise of safe, sane, consensual. Talk about that with your partner beforehand. Yes. I cannot stress this enough. Yes. Please, for the love of God, talk to your partner before doing this. Don't just spring it on them.
Yes. That springing on them, that steps into the abusive line. When you have the conversation about wanting it and you negotiate it, like we've talked about so many times, then it becomes consensual and it's enjoyable for everyone.
Precisely. So in case my definition wasn't clear enough, it's essentially just the mental version of physical masochism. Now, the differences with physical masochism, there isn't really that much of a broad definition, because it's pretty simple. It's just physically enjoying pain. But with mental pain and anguish, there's so many different layers. And the best thing I like about this is that you can combine that in with different kinks and different areas. You can do it passively. You can be aggressive about it. You can just kind of go with the flow. You can tie it in with with physical masochism as well, like I said, with the blindfolding thing. Like I said, if you try to Google that, the only thing that really comes up are people saying, I like it when my boyfriend hits me. Does this make me a mental masochist? Or something to that effect. There really isn't a lot of information out there about it. And I'm hoping that my time in the field, as it were, is going to kind of help people know what that is and do something with that information, hopefully.
We definitely appreciate you being here to share your knowledge. I think you've also kind of, as you and I have talked before, because Alex and I are really good friends and have known each other for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
And so him and I have had multiple conversations about this and some other ways that that mental masochism is described or used, like terms, words that they use. How do I want to say that? Fuck, other words that they use as a term to describe this. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. Sure, why not? Sure, we'll go with it. But some other words that they use is mental fuckery. I know some people use the term the consensual abuse. But again, this is for people who like being gaslit, or people who like their sanity being fucked with, or extreme degradation, or humiliation, or anything like this. You know, it's all consensual, but looking from an outside perspective in, it does look abusive, which is again why negotiating this is so huge. Alex, which I know, but for the listeners, which are, out of all of the ones under this umbrella, which are your favorite?
You can give a top three if you want.
I feel like a kid. I feel like a parent whose kids have just asked them, Mom, who's your favorite?
My mom told us we were all her favorite. So
she lied.
We went to camp one year, me and my sister, and my mom had to read us all letters, like for us to read during a quiet time. And mine said, "You're my favorite." And my sister said, "You're my favorite." They were
playing off against each other. That's a good idea.
It was great.
Sorry, go on, Edwin.
Oh no, I was just gonna say Mom just copy and pasted. That's all I was gonna say.
she did it in the same freaking marker. She didn't even give me my favorite color. She did it in pink, which is my sister's favorite color. But anyways.
I'm trying to think. I know that, like, it's one of those things that it's so encompassing that I could list 20 for you now.
I know. And then let me rephrase. When you are introducing this to a partner, which is the easiest for you to start with?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm gonna go with the whole online dynamic because it's easier. Also, coronavirus. So stay inside, wear a mask, blah, blah, blah. Generally speaking, like I said in my intro, like, a lot of people who may not know they're into it probably already are, especially if you're a physical masochist and already identify as a submissive. Chances are you're probably into this as well. You just don't know it. Generally speaking, any kind of, like, the easiest one, and I guess the most non-horny version is the word I'll use, is being talked down to. Now, it's not necessarily being like you're worthless, you're pathetic. It's more something like talking to someone in a patronizing tone, or as an example, in a restaurant, like maybe cutting their food up for them instead, or ordering their food for them, or cutting their food up in front of them, despite the fact that they're clearly an adult person, or ordering their drinks for them and not letting them have a say in it. Just little things like that. Like, most, like, signs of dominance and signs of submission generally will fall into this. So yeah, that's probably one of the easiest ones where, like, a lot of subs will go, oh yeah, I'm into that. Yeah. Oh, now I know what it is. Yeah, I'm into that. Mm-hmm. So just little things like that. Like I said, I'm trying to focus on the non-horny ones at the moment, because one of the things I like about this is that
it's not something that has to be sexual.
You should get everyone's consent before you go into something in public. However, if you're around someone's family or around someone's parents or around people in public, this is something that you can reasonably do to establish your dominance and then assert her as the submissive, or them as the submissive. I don't want to gender this issue. The dominant can assert their dominance. The submissive can feel more submissive because they're being dominated in a non-sexual way. And that, like, repeated rhythm of being, of the guidelines being set and the roles being set pretty much constantly is very nice for me. I like that. I like that I can do this at my, with my girlfriend at her parents' house, and no one would have any idea that the tone of my voice and the way that my inflections are and the way that I speak and the way I look at her all ties into this, but no one else knows apart from her. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why I like that. Obviously, like I said, you can crank that dial to 11 and go just absolute horny mode if you really want, but a nice gentle simmer constantly is really nice for me. I feel like it definitely helps with headspaces all around, especially if I or she has been in a particularly stressful day at work or any kind of other stresses. I feel like it's nice to come home and have those pre-established dynamic rules and archetypes already preset, so you don't have to. You can just click into place, like sitting in a comfy chair. You don't have to think about it. You just, and then you're in. It's kind of like that. And generally speaking, most doms that I speak to about it, that's their, like, natural state with their submissive. And most submissives I know, at least the ones that take it seriously, that's their natural state. Yeah, that's some of the easiest ones. Like I said, you can you can turn the heat up on that if you want. But because I know a lot of subs who are headspace submissives, but they're not necessarily, they may not like pain, they may not like forced orgasms, mm-hmm. but they do enjoy being talked down to, they do enjoy being baby talked, they do enjoy being made to feel, I don't want to say inferior because it makes it sound like way more misogynistic than it is, but like makes gentle misogyny
or submissive.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with that. And I see where you're coming from as from the submissive mm-hmm. side, because I mean, obviously, this is something I am into. So, and you and I have had those conversations before.
Never would have guessed.
Never. Just like you all know, I obviously don't like Impact. Not at all. So, like, from a submissive standpoint, the whether it's, you know, I'm not so much into the patronizing side of it, but definitely the reaffirmation of me being submissive to my master and me being kept in my place is very, like, even in a non-sexual way, is very affirming to me and very, like, it gives me security to know I'm where I want to be, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, it's very, very, it's
like comforting.
Security blade. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. It's very comforting. Like, it's very security. No, that's the wrong word. It's very comforting to know I have that security and that consistency.
Yeah. So. And like I said, you can crank that up to as low as or as high as you want, which is something I like about it. There's usually something for everybody in there. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I know plenty of people that are purely mental masochists. I know a lot of people that who deal with, especially subs, who deal with a lot of chronic pain. Mm-hmm. So, like, some, I don't know, spotty 21-year-old trying to hit them isn't going to have the same effect because, you know, they're in crippling pain almost constantly. Probably not going to have the same effect. But, like I said, messing with someone's mind, be it gently or heavy-handedly, can hit different. And it's, you know, different strokes for different folks. But like I said, most subs are into it in generally speaking in some way, shape or form. It just depends how high you want to turn that up or down, as it were.
What are some, you gave some examples of keeping it, you know, low. What are some examples of going crazy with this?
Some more extreme.
Do we have a copy of Spotify's terms of service here? I'm kidding. Question. Oh well, mostly kidding. Generally speaking, it's the top echelons. I've yet to reach 11. I have still, my dream, if you were, is to be in, like, my goal in my, like, my ultimate fantasy, I guess you can call it that, is to be in a 24/7 TP-esque dynamic with somebody. But I would probably need to, like, be thinking about marriage with said person before I even attempt any of this shit. But one thing, one of the facets that I like about it is, for, as an example, is financial domination. Most of the time, financial domination is like horny 21-year-old women kicking some 40-year-old dude in the balls and then taking $3,000 off of him. But,
true enough.
And threatening to tell his wife. But I, which, don't get me wrong, if I could pull that off, I would as well. But I kind of really like the idea of making my wife completely, or my partner, completely subservient. And I don't mean that as in like a mindless drone. Actually, no, that's rude. Let me take that back. I don't mean that in a sense of like slave master type dynamic where like whatever he says goes. I enjoy a bit of a fight as long as it's under the, you know, as long as there's an understanding that I am going to make you do this. If I have to drag you kicking and screaming by your hair, I'm going to do that. But I like the idea of complete and utter ownership of oneself. Where their body, their mind, their soul, and especially their mind belongs to me. So I really like the idea of, like I said, financial domination. And I don't mean like, oh, give me all your money. I mean, having her give me all of her paycheck and then having her have to ask me for basic amenities. So for example, if she wants to go out and grab a coffee, and I see that she didn't ask me for a coffee and I get the notification on my phone to say, hey, you spent £5 at Starbucks. I'll say, I don't remember you asking me for that. Why didn't you ask me? And the mental anguish that I know comes from that, from a submissive side, especially if you're very eager to please.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's the same with, like, I really enjoy, like, having submissives ask for basic amenities. Like, I've done, I'm kind of into water sports to an extent. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I really enjoy having someone have to ask me to go to the bathroom. Now, 95% of the time, it's going to be a yes. But just every now and then, I want to throw a curveball in and say, oh, you're in a meeting? Oh, you're about to head into a 2-hour meeting? No, you can't. You're going to have to wait. Because I like the pain. I like hearing or seeing the anguish and frustration in someone's face when I know that they need to go real fucking bad and they can't. And the same with, like, the financial domination. The same with, like, asking me if they can leave the house. I'm probably going to say yes. There's going to be a couple of times that I'm not going to say yes. I have done sessions with people and been with subs who, I don't know if you know what Life 360 is. They nerfed it, unfortunately. It was basically a parental app where yes. Parents could read kids' text messages, read their browser history, track what their usage is on different apps. You know, the kind of shit that I'm into. but by the time I eventually found someone that was willing to do that, they'd nerfed it and they charged $10 a month and fuck that. But I could still see where they were going, what they were doing, who they were with. And every time she left to go to the house, every time she left to, you know, that wasn't something basic like work or an emergency, I would get a notification to say that she's disconnected from her Wi-Fi. Which usually, if it doesn't reconnect within 2 minutes, means that she's out the house. So I'll ask her, like, hey, where are you going? Why didn't you ask me to go? And I just like that. That's the word I'm looking for. I don't want to say total domination, but I like inserting myself into every facet of their life to know that no matter what they do, where they go, who they're with, how they're going, they cannot escape me. Mm-hmm. I realize that out of context, that sounds pretty fucking wild.
Well, even in context, that sounds really
in context it does, but still I've kind of had like sprinklings of this. For example, someone who I'm talking to at the moment, she is not allowed to just frivolously spend money on whatever random shit that Instagram says that she should buy because she has that problem. Mm-hmm. So it's part solution as well. It's not just me swinging my dick around for the sake of swinging my dick around, although that is part of it. It is also part of it is also that I can make sure that she's not going out at stupid o'clock in the morning on her own, for example. I'm not making sure that she's not gonna, you know, put herself into more debt through frivolous spending on random shit. Mm-hmm. She's gonna have to ask me. Same with me being very, 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 very uptight about how many times someone eats and drinks. Same thing again. I can place that as a punishment and reward scheme. I can place that in punishments for not doing that. But at the end of the day, it's just me caring about, you know, I want you to be healthy. I want you to drink something that isn't fucking Red Bull or coffee.
Caffeine.
Yeah. Which is like, and again, this all kind of is around that center point of mental masochism. It's some of it's gentle, some of it's not. And even the examples that I just gave, yeah, they're pretty extreme, but they're not like aggressive. Mm-hmm. They're not aggressive. It's not necessarily like a sexual thing. It's not me sitting there and degrading them. That's sexual. But I would most people would put that way above me calling someone a whore, but it's not sexual. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on who it is, who the target audience is. Have you talked about it with your partner? How experienced is your partner? And I feel like a lot of people just purely think of it in a sexual manner, the way that most people do with impact play, for example. Yeah. But I know a lot of people who use impact play as a form of relief. I know some people that can't cry. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that if they're pent up inside and they can't get it out, go into your friend's house and getting the absolute shit beaten out of you is a good example. It's a good way to cry.
Yeah, it's very cathartic.
Yeah, therapy Spanx, as my friend calls it.
Yes.
And the same with mental masochism. I think a lot of people can use it for, I don't necessarily advise this, I'm not a therapist, but I know a lot of people use mental masochism for getting over trauma, getting over breakups. Mm-hmm. And how much of a bastard the Dom wants to be is going to be indicative of how how good or bad it is. Like, someone could be absolutely abhorrent. And I've done scenes with people where I have essentially allocated 6 hours to just this person. Only 2 hours of that was play, mind you. And the 4 hours were spent building her back up, because I'm not gonna go into details here, because she hasn't given me consent to tell this story. But I spent 2 hours breaking her down until she was just a crying, hot, wet mess in every sense of every single word that I just said. Like, she cried until she couldn't cry anymore. Mm. And then I spent 4 hours taking care of her and building her back up, and she felt bad but good. And I'm sure any submissive here can attest to that. If you've been through a heavy impact play scene, or mental masochist scene, the endorphins that you get from all that adrenaline that was running through you during that, and the high and the lows that give you, and the very mellowing out of once everything sort of evens out and goes back to normal, it feels really good.
It's such a relief.
Yeah, especially, like I said, it's because she's a teacher. I think you may have met her. She was a teacher, and again, throughout her entire work day, she's her head of department. She's looking after kids. She's looking after members of staff. She's planning. She's got all this stuff going on in her head, and she just came home from work one day. I think it was a Friday or something. I think she came home. She'd had a horrible week. Because she's a teacher, she takes her work home with her. So it's not like a 9-to-5 job. You clock off, turn your phone off. Don't contact me. That's not an option. Parents know your email. Parents know your phone number. They can contact you. So even though it was weekend, she had no respite. So she just came home, threw her stuff down, called me and was like, hey, are you okay? I was like, are you okay? She's like, no, I'm really stressed. We spoke for about 20 minutes. She had something to eat. She's like, hey, you remember you always talk about breaking me? I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I want to do that. I was like, are you sure? I was like, you really want to write me a blank check? And she's like, yeah, I trust you. I was like, all right, fuck it, cool, all right. So I did, and that was very good. And I got her to run herself a bath. And I got her to, which I know this isn't particularly on topic, but I would recommend all dominants out there, make sure that they get ready ahead of time, so there's no, awkward scrambling of toys in different places and bruises and blood, and then, oh fuck, I don't know where a cold towel is, for example. So then they have to scramble to try and find a towel or a water bottle nearby. Like, make sure you get everything ahead of schedule, which again I learned through trial and error. So I got her to get everything ready, which again is kind of part of the ritual. If you do it enough, that becomes part of the ritual of play, and that becomes part of the ritual of, if they're doing that, the submissives can often find that they doing that is therapeutic to them, because it gets them in a submissive headspace. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Pavlov's dog. And yeah, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was a very long session, but it's to this day one of the best. And I don't want to call it my best session, but it's one of the most memorable sessions, because it was such a big learning experience for me. You know, I'd never looked after someone for 4 hours online before. This is all done online, by the way. This wasn't in person. This is all over Skype. So it was hard. And it's great that someone can be so receptive to what I'm asking them to do through the internet. Yeah, it was really good. I'm still in contact with her today, and we still do reminisce about that every now and then whenever we talk. But yeah, it was really good. And even then, that wasn't me going full tilt. There is so much more headroom on top of that. But I feel like a lot of that stuff, the heavier stuff, is going to have to be for when I'm there in person. I don't think that, even though it's all mental and there's no physicalness involved, for my own protection and safety and sanity as a Dom, I need to be there in person to make sure that nothing bad happens.
Absolutely.
Because I know this isn't like the aftercare talk, but I feel like aftercare is very important and needs to be talked about more.
Absolutely.
But like for dominance especially, there ain't really much out there.
Oh my god, I touched on that too during that episode.
And if you're doing a really heavy scene, like I did a talk recently on it as well, and something like a lot of the subs are like, I don't know how to give them aftercare. I was like, first of all, use your fucking brain and ask him.
Ask him. That's again. And if he doesn't know, negotiate that shit.
And if he doesn't know, here's a list of the basics, and I basically made like a PowerPoint slide on like, make sure that before you start, you have a bottle of water nearby. Make sure that, you know, you feel good before you go ahead and do it. I know everybody loves to use kink as a way to work through their problems, but make sure that you're actually in the correct headspace to do that. And then afterwards, just make sure that he's okay. Like, I'm sure it's heavy for the submissive to be told that they're worthless and disgusting and pathetic, and that their partner only wants to be with them for sex, and that I'm just lying to you just to keep you here and all this stuff. Like, yeah, it's hot. But that takes a toll on me too. Like seeing someone bawl their eyes out because of something that I've just said takes a real fucking toll. Which is why I can only do that with people who I know me enough to know that I'm LARPing. I never want someone to take me seriously when I say things like that.
Okay, I know what LARPing is, but please, for those who don't know what LARPing is.
Live action role playing. So essentially I'm essentially saying like, yeah, I'm full of shit. I want you to take me seriously in the moment, but I don't want you to actively think that I mean what I say. And that's part of my aftercare, is knowing that she knows that I don't mean those things. And that could be something as simple as me saying to her, like, are you okay? How was that? Are you sure that this is okay? Are you sure that this was good for you? Like, I didn't mean the horrible things that I said to you. And like her saying back to me, like, I know you didn't. It's just nice to hear. I'm okay. It's just very hard to hear. That makes it sad, but it makes me happy because it makes me know that she gets it and that they know. I say she because most of my submissive partners have been female, by the way. I'm not trying to gender this. But it's nice to know that they get it as well.
It's something we, Edwin and I, kind of talked about. Dominance are all, like, yes, as a submissive, I am going through a fucking roller coaster. But my dominance sitting right there next to me on this roller coaster, they are going through it as well. Yes, are we experiencing it different? Sure. But we're both going through this roller coaster of emotions and fucking crazy hormones and this high and this plateau and this drop and making sure that they are okay is just as important as them making sure you are okay. Because again, if you both aren't enjoying the scene and being taken care of after the scene, then that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's neglect.
Yeah. I don't want to sit here and say, well, Dom's having it harder. That's not my intention with this, but like, it's real. I'm sure Edwin can attest to this. It's real fucking hard watching the person you love cry because of something you said, and then just being like, oh, are you going to cry about it, you little bitch? Oh, go on, make my dick harder. Like, it's easy to say, but it's a different thing to sustain that for an hour and a half and then just not cave. Because the amount of times that, like, when I was starting to get into this, I would snap out of it, but my daddy side would come in. Like, and like, I remember one of the girl, again, I'm not going to name any names. Or timelines here, but someone who I met online, who eventually got to meet in person, we went to a place called BBB, which is like a kink market / show / social event in Birmingham.
Remember
you talking about this? Yeah, and we had a really good time, and it was good. And they had like a, what I would imagine is usually where a band would play, but when we went there, the stage was full of crosses and swings and tie downs. It was cool as fuck. And I did a public display scene with her. I say public in the sense that people could see, but I wasn't like egging the crowd on or anything. But I was just fucking going ape shit on her. And then like midway through, I just broke character and I went to the bar and I was like, hey, have you got any ice cubes? And I just put some ice cubes in a bag and just sort of patted her on the head. I was like, are you okay? And like, just little things like that really helped me. Like I said, I know this isn't the aftercare podcast, but I feel like it's something I need to mention in this space, is that even though it's hard on everyone doing it, especially because it's not, you know, I can look at someone's ass and see a bruise or a cut or a bone break if you're that far into it. You can't see
what you've done to the inside. You can't see what you've done to their mind. Yeah.
And especially if someone is used to hiding that emotional pain, which it's 2021. A lot of people are pretty fucking good at it. I need to know going into that is that, like, not only do I need to trust them that they're going to be okay, I need to trust them that if there's something wrong, they're going to say something. I need to know that if, and the same reason they need to trust me to know that I'm going to stop if they ask me to. But a lot of subs, especially like those who are eager to please and have complexes around that, I'm very likely to just kind of suck it up and tough it out, which, like, I appreciate the dedication, but if I find out 2 days later that you've been self-harming because of something I said during a scene, that's problematic. I need to know that right when you feel that, not 2 days later. And yeah, like I said, it's easy to see, like, if you break someone's arm or you dislocate someone's shoulder because of a position, you can see that because their arm looks weird, or you can see that they've got a black eye or their eyes are bloodshot or whatever. But I can't see the effect that my words are having on someone unless they tell me. So, you know, communicate and aftercare, communication and aftercare are really, really, really important. And that's why I'm bringing it up.
Alex, hang on right there. Before you get into the importance of aftercare, I think that deserves a part two to mental masochism, and that's what we'll get into next week. So hold that thought. Listeners, you can join us next Sunday to hear about it. Quick shameless plugs before we end here. For Dark Side Adventures, we are on Twitter at Dark S Adventures. We're on Reddit, YouTube, and TikTok at Dark Side Adventures. We are on Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Deezer, Podbean, just about any podcasting site you can think of, we are on there currently, including Google and Amazon. Please give us a like, a follow, and a share. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. That means the world to us. Really helps us get the word out. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, places we should get on that we're not. Hell, if you want to be on the episode, give us a shout. Send us an email. It is ourdarksideadventures@gmail.com. This is Coco signing off for Alex, Edwin, and myself. Thanks for listening. We will see you all next week. Adios!